to part two of our 12th episode of Dare to Innovate, where we're discussing the ROI of network transformation. In case you missed it, be sure to listen to part one, Building the Internal Business Case, where we cover strategies to gaining internal alignment and successfully modernizing your network.
At the time, it was a big focus to improve the customer experience in the stores and also the experience of the associates, because that's also a big thing. Imagine you're sitting there, you're trying to cash someone out, and everything is just slow.
waiting 10 minutes for a credit card authorization,
So we've all been there.
Yeah, and you can't get mad at them because the system.
Yeah.
So it was just a lot more opportunities. So that's one of the biggest reasons why we started with them first, and I thought it was a great move.
Right. So you brought up something near and dear to my heart, and I'd love to hear more about that, but that was cost savings. What was the impact to you guys in terms of this transformation in terms of cost savings?
So overall, with us always continuously optimizing, we reduced our telecom spend by about 45% in the last 5 years. Right? So it's a pretty big chunk.
Yeah.
And the beauty about it is we increased our operating capacity by like 5 times, in some places even 10 times the amount that they had. So just imagine that.
Yeah, right? that's a pretty good return, right? Yeah, 10 times the capacity for half the cost. That's not so bad.
That's a good thing. We'd all would like that.
I'd like that. Yeah, I'd like that.
Maybe we can go to the wireless carriers and see if we can get a little more capacity.
Savings is always an important one. You know, we always think about what happens to those savings, right? You know, in terms of reinvesting them in the business. I mean, there's certainly some corporations where, hey, that money's gonna go straight to the bottom line and shareholders, owners, whatever. But a lot of times we see them take that opportunity to then start investing and have, I don't wanna call it a slush fund, but have a fund available to try new things. And like you mentioned it a little bit ago, like, hey, fixed wireless. You know, if you were still running on a T1 network or, you know, a legacy network that was costing too much, taking too much to manage, I can't imagine you'd have a lot of time to go explore things like fixed wireless.
Oh, no, you're right. I mean, that is key. It's because of the way that we've been able to do these transformations, it has freed us up a bit more. So now we get to do what's called the fun stuff.
There's no harm in saying it. Look, IT people, telecom, you like playing with the new stuff.
Yeah. And to me, I always look at it, it's not a waste of time as long as you're learning something, right? And it's important. So, because there's so many different types of solutions out there. I mean, funny enough, another transformation that we did was our entire voice network.
Yeah.
That was a big one. We did that a couple of years ago, and you know, POTS lines were big, right? Everyone had POTS lines.
Everyone's got
POTS still here.
Lines,
been going away for years.
Yep, since 96. They've been going away, and I remember.
But we completely digitized our voice and our faxing solutions, and that was a huge chunk of cost reduction there.
Yeah.
And just pain, because in some of our locations, we had key systems and old PBXs were around. You know, they were installed when the building was built.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So to being able to get rid of all those things, it frees up so much more time. And what I was alluding to earlier is when I have conversations with the business, they're all pleasant conversations. Right. When my leaders, they go talk to them and you meet, I saw in the hallway and it was a great conversation. He was happy.
Yeah.
Right. And that means so much.
Yeah.
And that's what's important. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, and it's building confidence for that next project, right?
So it does.
When you say, hey, we want to go try this, they're like, hey, you know what? George has delivered great results over here. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, no, I mean, the team does great work. And, you know, you bring up a good point. You know, it drives enthusiasm for the next thing where it is like that. It is a send an email or set up a meeting.
Yeah.
And say, hey, this is something we're looking at. This is what we think we can do. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah.
And there's interest in it. Versus before, it was like, well, how are you ever going to do this?
Yeah. Right. It was fear. They got an email and it was just fear.
Like, are you sure it's not going to get worse?
So, you know, those, it's so much more pleasant now when you invest the time and the effort and transforming and improving what you do, right? Because you're not just doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the people on the ground.
Right.
Right? the associates in the stores.
Yeah, the front line. Yeah, the front line is who benefits.
In our warehouses, right? The guys who are moving around, picking stuff. Like, it's a lot of work that they do. And just imagining them sitting there trying to scan an item.
And it takes forever. And you know, they have 1,000 items they need to move. And
yeah, you can't push enough traffic out.
Right.
Everything's slower. It just backs up so many things.
So you talked about the cost savings. How were you guys able to track that?
It goes back to what I was mentioning before.
Right.
Right? It's crazy trying to look at invoices and printing them out and, you know, highlighting what's... Yeah, that's madness.
Yeah.
But what we did is we invested in a TEM solution, put that in place, and because now all of our data is consolidated in one place, we have full visibility.
Yeah.
Right? We can see what we're spending on. We can see the trends of what's happening. What's changed, what hasn't changed, what's costing us too much money, all that information. So then you see it, you make those changes, and it's pretty nice. You can build nice little charts and graphs, and it just shows you, right? So as it's happening, you see it in real time. As invoices are coming in, you're seeing the reduction happening.
Yeah.
And that's basically how we did it. We were able to forecast and see what we're going to...
I mean, that's all kudos to you for doing that. I mean, that required a certain amount of discipline that a lot of, like we were saying earlier, maybe those the IT guys that just want to go play the equipment, you know, a lot of them don't necessarily want to be like, oh, all right, hold on, I have to get a system up and I've got to track it. Mm-hmm. But without that, again, not only would you not have been able to measure it, but I can't imagine you would have been able to manage it as well.
No, right? And here's even the better part. We have historical data, right? So now I can go back and say, what did we do 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And what's the journey that took place?
So as you talk about the journey, one of the things I always end up talking about with customers or prospects is where do you start? And you know, specifically, you said you guys invested within a TEM. Did you do that first, or did you go down the network transformation and then invest in the TEM?
We invested in the TEM first. That was really important because that also does help you identify what issues you have, right? Because think about it, we all knew that T1s were slow, right? That's
yeah. You knew the problem, but you didn't know necessarily the scale of it or
correct. But once you put in a TEM provider and you can capture that data,
yeah,
it's easier to go have those conversations because you have actionable data that's like, hey, look, you can see it now.
Yeah, this retail location and the circuits in there are really costing us X for this type of performance. It's giving them better data and giving all of that.
And of course, you can do it without a TEM provider, but why?
Yeah.
Right?
What would be, you know, recommendations for the audience that are thinking about this journey as you think back about your experiences?
You have to ask yourself a few questions, right? Does your network need to be transformed? How does it work today, you know? Because that's always the key thing. Everyone thinks you got to do something just because it's the hot trend, right? Yeah. And I'm a big proponent of not doing work just for the sake of work.
What's your business need?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how does it work today? Why do you need it? Does it really need to be transformed?
Yeah.
And once you answer that question, then the next thing is, well, what does it need to be transformed to? Right? What are we going for?
Right.
What is it? At the end of the day, once we're done, what do we say that we've accomplished? And then it's the taking your time and figuring out, it's like, all right, how do we do it? Right? How do we want to start cutting apart these pieces, breaking it down, and go with it?
Yeah.
Right? So those are the things I think you really need to focus on. And it is hard to do without having the data.
Right.
Visibility. Yeah, you got to have the visibility.
It's crucial because at that point, you really just...
You're making stuff up.
You're throwing some darts and hoping you hit something.
You're just hypothesizing instead of actually testing.
Correct. And the key thing that I do want to make sure that you always focus on is putting in the significance factor, right? And everyone always thinks like, oh, this is urgent or this is important, but they never ask, well, how significant is something, right? And so how long does this matter?
Yeah.
Because if it's urgent and important and it only matters right now, doesn't do anything for us 3 years from now.
That's right. Again, hindsight. What would you have done different? If we talk about it in the...
Scott, it was perfect. We've already talked about that. You wouldn't have done anything differently.
If we just look at the MPLS to SD-WAN, like if there's one thing you would have done different, is there like one thing like, yeah, I would have moved slower in the beginning or faster in the end, or you think you pretty much nailed it?
We got there and we learned so much more from it. And I enjoy the experience, right? And the team enjoys the experience.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think there's anything we would change.
So I'll ask the Oracle hat question. What's the next big one? What is it? Like, what's the next big network transformation? Do you think it's going to happen?
Well, I think fixed wireless is becoming a big thing, right? Everything is going more wireless, and carriers are starting to get better at it. Yeah. And we actually have a couple fixed wireless stores, they're solely running on fixed wireless.
But do you think, here's my question, do you think, you know, like we were saying earlier, I remember when I got started in telecom, late 90s, mm-hmm. you know, voice over IP wasn't quite here yet, but as soon as it showed up, everyone's like, all right, in 5 years, there's going to be no such thing as a POTS line. Well, that was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And we still got lots of POTS lines. And I hear a lot of people say, hey, wireless, it's, you know, mm-hmm. things are going wireless. Is it really going to have, like, I have a hard time getting over, are we really going to replace all of the bandwidth that we provide over wires and copper and, mm-hmm. and fiber and all those things today with wireless anytime soon? I have a hard time getting there.
No, I 100% agree. In some cases, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But here's the beauty about it, right? And this is the part I love about when we've done this transformation is the operational flexibility.
Yeah.
Whereas we're no longer just tied to everything
a
needs to look the
MPLS
same.
MPLS provider.
Well, but it's not only just that. It's use what works in the area that it works.
Yeah, that works in. Yeah.
Right. That's what it's turned into now. Whereas before it was like, well, it had to be this because this is how we did it.
Right.
Whereas this store will work great on wireless. Let's put wireless there.
Right.
This store needs a DIA circuit. Let's put a DIA circuit there. This one will work good with a broadband or a commodity-based circuit.
You've built flexibility into the model to be able to...
Yeah, it's delivery diversification. Ooh, that's a tough one. Delivery diversification.
Yeah. Wow.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
That's a lot of syllables. No, it is. I mean, it's that that you're not locked into not only one provider, but you're not locked into one last mile either.
Correct. So it's easier to solve today's problems that are coming up where, you know, you want to put a circuit somewhere,
right,
and ton of construction. So there are all these roadblocks.
Yep.
Right. I know a lot of different companies, what they're doing now is it's taking time to get circuits and things delivered. So they start with fixed wireless, get their infrastructure up, do what they need to. By the time with all that's done, the circuits have been delivered and they're good to go.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a lot of different types of opportunities and use cases for it. For us, it's something that we're testing out. We're trying to see more of and you know, I don't know if it's a full transition. I don't think it's ready yet.
Yeah.
But as it's improving, it's a great option. And tell you a secret, it's cheaper.
it's a piece of the overall solution.
Yeah.
In some places, and I think you said it really well, in some places it makes sense, in some places it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And having that flexibility and, you know, additional cost savings is tremendous. You know, Scott, as we close off, any other things you think about within network transformation or transformations in general, you know, as we're talking to the audience of things they should be thinking about?
And I'll go back to my original point, which is it can't be a once every 5 year thought. You know, it's got to be much the way you're approaching it, which is kind of every year thinking, all right, what is the transformation that needs to happen this year?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes maybe that's kicking off a big project, right? Like an MPLS to SD-WAN migration. But a lot of times, maybe it's a smaller transformation that's happening. Like, hey, we need to get fixed wireless tested into kind of 6, 7, 8 locations, something like that.
Correct.
So that would be the advice I give, which is just look at it every year mm-hmm. as a small
what
project.
Because then it doesn't become a massive project that happens.
That's right.
Iterations and it continues to evolve as we continue to work forward.
Right. And as the technology that enables those transformations continues to evolve and become mm-hmm. available.
Yeah, maybe fixed wireless is great today, but tomorrow
there's going
to be something else.
Something different,
And that's so true, right? And that's why having that flexibility is key,
yeah.
right? It's not like back in the days where you got a technology and it lasted for like 10, 15, 20 years, right?
That's right.
It's more of, you know, it's like you get something, next year is the old thing. You know?
Right, that's right.
So
yeah, I mean, the power of compute, you know, those things are continuing to rise exponentially. The availability of bandwidth and the delivery of it, they're gonna continue. So again, take it little bite-sized chunks and keep using the best of what's available.
Yeah.
Instead of, like you said, saying, "All right, we're gonna go buy this asset and depreciate it over 30 years, and then we'll replace it in 30 years."
Yeah, yeah, no, it's continuous improvement.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, Georgia, Scott, thank you guys so much for joining me. Really enjoyed the conversation, and thank you guys for watching Dare to Innovate.
Stay on top of the conversation. Like and subscribe to our channel to get notified when our newest episodes release. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Dare to Innovate.